Good morning. So good to see you and to just worship together, to lift our eyes, our hearts to Jesus. If I haven't had a chance to meet you before, my name is Ryan, and I am so thankful for the opportunity to be able to open God's Word with you today. I want to begin by just giving a word of thanks, echoing Pastor Kyle's welcome. I know that he highlighted our great week at Pine Cove, or having Pine Cove City here. We are so thankful for their presence on our campus. And as I got to listen on Thursday evening, we gathered together with all of the counselors and all the homes, those of you that were opening up your homes, some of you were there, and we had a dinner. And as part of that, the counselors, those college students, they shared what they had seen God do throughout this week. And so we got to hear some stories. And the thing that I just was so encouraged by, so thankful for, was our amazing team that we have here at City Church. Obviously, Jessica and Shelley and our Next Gen team did all sorts of work to make that week possible, to host all of the kids that came. But what the counselors remarked, and I could tell when they were talking about some of our own kids, was how eager they were for God's Word, the questions that they asked, the knowledge of Scripture. And so they're not in the room this morning, but when you see Shelley and Jessica, give them a high five. Give them your thanks, because the work that they are doing in our kids' ministry is really powerful. And those college kids that came to visit us, they shared with us what they saw God doing in our midst, and we should be very, very grateful. It's a gift that we were able to be here. We are in a study or series called What is the Gospel? If you're a guest with us, we've been looking at the gospel, and that's a word that you probably have heard many, many times, the gospel. But what is the gospel? How do you define the gospel? How do you explain the gospel? How do you express the gospel? Well, we are looking at this beautiful diamond that is the gospel and turning it in our hands and looking at it from all different vantage points and perspectives to hopefully, my prayer for this series is that it would enlarge in our hearts our worship of King Jesus, our love for Jesus, our understanding of what Christ has done for us, so that when we get to Summit and we start talking about our connected life together, we talk about the growth that is coming for our community when we open up our new sanctuary and all of the work that we need to do to be faithful in our calling, that we might be able to understand, communicate, and share with our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our family members, the glory of this beautiful gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ. This morning, we're looking at the power of the gospel to make all things new. What is the gospel? The gospel makes all things new. When I was 16 years old, I was living like most 16-year-olds, not City Church 16-year-olds, but living in the world, pursuing my own desires. I was the Lord of my own life. There was a few rules: honor mom, take care of her. But apart from that, whatever I wanted to do is what I did. But I would lay down at night, and I would think about my life, and I would just say, there's got to be more than this. There's got to be something better than this. These things that never seem to satisfy. Some of these pains that don't seem to go away no matter what I might pursue. And I was thankfully at least aware of God. Didn't deny God. Didn't know Jesus personally as a Savior, but understood a little bit about who He was. And as I would lay down at night and begin to think about that and ask those questions, I'll confess I got a little scared. Because I knew if God was real and He was who I somewhat understood Him to be, He would be totally right to condemn me, to write me off and never think of me again. Thankfully, the Spirit stirred up in me this recognition of where life was. And I realized that I wanted something different. but I didn't know how to get it. I didn't know how to find something different. My brother sent me a letter, and he encouraged me to get that Bible that had sat on the top shelf collecting all sorts of dust, probably was given to me when I was a kindergartner. Get that down and read it. And I can't tell you what passage of scripture. It was over a number of weeks. I began to look at the Bible, read the Bible, turning from page to page. And what I came to understand is this Jesus that I had heard about most of my life, knew of him, this Jesus truly loved me. He loved me so much that he would give his life for me, because he had to do that if I was going to have any new life at all. Because he loved me, he died for me. And I began to come to know that when I stood before God, because of him, I would not be condemned. As I read God's word, something happened. And what happened is I was made new. I was born again. Now I know what you're thinking. No, not every behavior changed. But my heart changed. My desires changed. My tastes began to change. My heart was no longer fearful of God and what might happen when I met him face to face. My tastes were no longer tuned to the things of this world. What once tasted sweet for a moment began to taste bitter. What once seemed so foolish and silly became quite precious to me. I was a new creation with a new heart and new desires. This is the gospel. The gospel doesn't simply improve people. Or as you've heard me say many, many, many times, if you've been a part of this church for even just a few years, the gospel doesn't make bad men good. It makes dead men alive. The gospel makes all things new. And the gospel, as I read God's word, and the Spirit of God was at work in my life, made me new. This is what the gospel does. Do you want to be made new? Do you look at your past, perhaps a little bit even of your present yesterday morning? You felt like things were in shambles. The power of the gospel through God's word is you can be made new. We're going to see this in a short story in John chapter 3. I invite you to stand out of reverence for God's word, if you're able, as I read our text, the story of Nicodemus, John 3, 1 through 8. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a religious leader of the day, comes to Jesus. He has to come to him in the middle of the night because he couldn't be found out by his fellow Pharisees, that he was curious about what Jesus was doing. He, like so many, had seen Jesus deliver miracle after miracle and was wondering, what is happening here? This man must be from God. And Jesus, hearing that statement from him, understands that he has a question: who are you and what do I have to do to have what you have? And Jesus answers that question with this powerful statement: unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus had religion, he had knowledge, he had influence, he had power. So many of those things that we might find in our lives today that we think of, we say, I've got this, I've got that, I can do this, I can do that. And yet life still seems to be wanting. There still seems to be a gap there. And we ask ourselves, isn't there something more? Surely there's something more to life than this. And Jesus would answer your same question, your same thought, in the way that he answered Nicodemus. You must be born again. You cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you are born again. The world offers us self-improvement, doesn't it? We used to have these things called bookstores, and you would go in and you would see aisle after aisle of self-improvement, self-help, reading these things, New Age thought. Now you get online and you just scroll and scroll and scroll and you can find similar things. The world offers this type of self-improvement, but what Jesus offers us is something that's so much better. It's not self-improvement, me improving upon myself. Jesus offers us something so much greater, which is new life. The world says, try harder, do better, fix yourself, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, reinvent yourself. Do you hear the culture just speaking these things to you? All day, every day, we hear these ideas. But Jesus says, no. None of that will work. You can try it all day long, but it's not going to accomplish what you hope it will. What you need is to be born again. The world's solutions I found for myself, and perhaps you've experienced this as well, really just feel like fixing that wrecked car. Remember when you had that wrecked car? Got damaged, dents, maybe it's all rusted out. You go get that Bondo, and you just start rubbing that Bondo on there, trying to patch up all the holes, throw some spray paint on it, you're looking good again. But you know, underneath that spray paint, underneath that sort of quick fix that you applied, rubbing that Bondo on that crack or dent, you know underneath the car is still totaled. You know underneath it's still a wreck. You can pull the dents out. You can put a fresh coat of paint on. You can put lipstick on a pig, and it's still a pig. Underneath, nothing has changed. And see, that's not what Jesus comes to offer. He doesn't come to offer you just some superficial transformation from the outside. No, he comes to offer you something so much greater. Not to patch up your old life, but to give you a completely new one. You must be born again. And this is really good news. But it's also challenging news, because so many of us have been tempted to think and believe that if we just add a little bit of Jesus into our lives in all these various areas, then everything will go great. I'm pursuing everything that I can professionally. If I just sort of sprinkle in a little Jesus to my profession, you know what, let's have a little prayer time on Monday mornings before work. Then after that, we'll just get to work and do it all ourselves. Let me add Jesus in a little bit here onto my sports team. Let me add Jesus into our family time. And we think we just sort of add Jesus, or sort of these superficial things surrounding them. And what we forget is that your life will be bulldozed by Jesus, and he'll give you a new one. And that's really good news. You come to the end of yourself, and then he gives you new life. Nicodemus understood. I've tried religion, I've got power, I've got influence, I've got all of these sorts of things, and it's not satisfying and it's not working. And I see you, Jesus. I look at you, Jesus, and I see there's something different. And so Jesus tells Nicodemus, you know, you're right, Nicodemus, and the old life is going to go away, and I'm going to give you a new one. You must be born again. Do you want something more from life? It's not just adding Jesus in. It's allowing him to completely tear down your old life and give you a new one. New life. That's what he did for me. Well, Nicodemus And you might be asking yourself, okay, that all sounds great. I'm ready for Jesus to bulldoze my life and give me a new one. How? How do I do that? How does Jesus do this? Well, Jesus answers Nicodemus his question, a very pragmatic question. Am I to be born again? Am I able to enter my mother's womb again? Of course not. We know the answer. But Nicodemus is just thinking in earthly terms like we might often think. Can I do this? Can I do that? Am I supposed to do this? Am I supposed to do that? And Jesus says in verse 5, he gives him the answer. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And so Jesus answers his question by explaining to him that what is of the flesh, yes, you're born of water. You're born of the flesh. One day, you were given life, you were brought to life, and here you are. But there's a new birth, and that new birth is accomplished by the Spirit. How are we born again? I wanted to know at 16 years old, how is it that I could find something better than what I had been pursuing? Maybe you this morning are asking that same question. How does this happen? And Jesus says that it is a work of the Spirit. The Spirit of God creates new life where there was no life before. And how does he do this? He does this through the Word. Do you remember my story? I started reading the Bible. I opened up God's Word. 1 Peter tells us, since you have been born again, he's speaking to believers who have been born again, who have received this new life in Christ. And you've been born again, not of perishable seed, not of the flesh, that which will die, but of imperishable. And this is then he gives us the answer. How? Through the living and abiding Word of God. 1 Peter 1:23. Since you've been born again, not of the things of the world, not of the perishable things, but of the imperishable, you have been given this life through the living and abiding Word of God. How are we born again? Through the Spirit at work in our lives and the Spirit at work in God's Word, and he brings those two things together and he brings us new life. I wasn't reading self-help books. I wasn't reading any books when I was a teenager. I wasn't reading anything. I wasn't trying to reinvent myself. I didn't even know what that would have meant if you would ask me to do that. But what I did start to do was read God's Word. And through the living and abiding Word of God, the Spirit brought life. The Spirit of God brought life. And of course, once again, as you've heard for the last couple of weeks, as we've looked at this beautiful gospel, this runs completely counter to our man-centered way of thinking. See, we put ourselves so often at the center of the story. We want new life, we better do something about it. Let me figure this out. Let me get to work. And really what we need to do is we need to yield our lives and say, Lord, it's all yours. We think new life can come from within us. If we just tried harder, if we just became better, if we just turned over a new leaf. Have you tried that? My guess is if that's your story, you've tried it and you found it wanting. But Jesus says, new life comes from above. It is a work of the Spirit. It is God's Spirit, and it is God's work in us. God is always the first mover. The Spirit of God is what was tilling up. He was tilling up the soil of my heart to even recognize my sinfulness and to recognize how surely there was something more to life than what I was finding. And then the Spirit of God was speaking to me through the Word. You want to know why we preach the Bible here? Why the Bible is the anchor of everything that we do at City Church? It is because it is the power of God, the Spirit of God speaking to us through His Word. As you've probably heard this quote before, if you want to hear God speak, read the Bible out loud. And yes, we can hear God speak in other means, but primarily He speaks to us through the Word. And so I started reading the Bible, and the Word did the work. This is why, by the way, we also don't sing songs to ourselves. I don't sing, thank you, Ryan, for what you did. Thank you, Ryan, for how you did this or that. Praise Ryan. David's cringing right now. No, those would be terrible songs. We sing, thank you, Jesus, for the blood. Thank you, Jesus. You have saved my life. It's all Jesus. He is the one who gives new life. And we are made new by his Spirit. This runs contrary again to every works-based view of salvation there is. And there are many. Some of you, I know many in our church, I've had these conversations. We're raised in the Catholic Church. There's this works-based idea. Even regeneration is taught happening through the work of baptism. We have, by the way, we're going to have a class. I'd encourage you to participate if that's your story, called Rediscovering Grace. You can text the word rediscover to 75709. There'll probably be a slide behind me. There it is. Rediscover. All right? Text that word. If you can, it is spelled out there too, because I always misspell them. Join that class where you can learn about the gospel even deeper if that's your story. The gospel tells us that we must be born again. And the gospel tells us that we are made new by the Spirit. We're made new because the Spirit of God gives life to spiritually dead people. And through the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are given that new life. Well, the good news is that it doesn't just end there, though. See, the old is gone. And when the old is gone, there's a new that comes. What happened to me when I was converted? What happened to you when you were converted? My desires change. My guess is that some of your desires change. My tastes begin to change. Those things that interested me changed. Why? Because God changed me. I had some friends that I didn't see for some time, and I remember coming back together with them a couple months, 6 or 8 months after this encounter with the Lord and growing in my faith, and some of them were like, "What happened to you? Where did you go?" Because my life completely changed. This is the promise that we hear in 2 Corinthians 5. Paul tells us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if you are in Christ, he is a new creation. He's a new creation. And guess what? That means the old is passed away and the new has come. Notice what God's word says here. Not that the old was reinvented, the old was improved upon, the old was sort of got a few things figured out, the old started going to church a little bit more, the old started giving a little bit more, the old participated in this Bible study or that Bible study. No, the old is passed away, the old is dead, and the old is gone. This is why we say Jesus doesn't come to just be added to your life, to improve upon your life. No, he comes to transform your life. Your life is going to be wrecked by Jesus when you meet him. Praise be to God. And he's going to give you a new life, brand new life. The new has come. This is, of course, in fulfillment to the Old Testament. You think this is just a New Testament idea? Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel says in Ezekiel 36:26, I will remove, this is God speaking through him, I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a new heart of flesh. I'll remove that old heart, and I'm going to give you a new heart. The old heart is gone, and a new heart has been given. And because the heart has changed, everything starts to look different. Our purpose begins to change. Instead of just trying to survive, just make it to another day. Have you ever felt like that? Let me just get to bed. Let me just try to make it to another day and make it to another day. And yes, we still have hard days as Christians, but there was a moment where that was just the constant churn of my life. Let me see if I wake up in the morning if the Lord doesn't condemn me before then. And let me just try and make it. I stopped trying to escape life and begin to find joy in the life, the new life that Christ had given me. Because I was now in Christ. Again, hear those words. If anyone is in Christ, covered up by Jesus, wearing Jesus, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And like a newborn discovering the world around me for the first time, I was discovering this new life. Have you ever marveled and thought about newborns? They learn so often to speak. To speak. You're not like wowing at that enough. A baby learns to speak by absorbing his environment, absorbing the environment around him. And like a newborn, when I was given this new life in Christ, I'm reading the Word of God, I'm consuming it, I'm going to Bible studies, I'm spending time in church, I'm worshiping Jesus. My whole schedule, everything about my life was reoriented. Again, not in an immediate, but over time and time and time, everything started to change. I wanted to read the Bible. I wanted to know Jesus. I wanted to know what he had done. And I wanted to tell others what he had done for me. John Newton, the author of that famous hymn we sing, Amazing Grace, he wrote a letter. And in that letter, it's been summarized in this quote. I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I wish to be. I'm not what I hope to be, but by the grace of God, I am not what I was. John Newton had seen his life transformed. He had been made new by Jesus. This is regeneration, not perfection, but transformation. And that's what I experienced. And I know that's what so many of you have experienced in your life. And when Jesus does this, when he makes us new, he also gives us a new purpose. Look at Paul as he continues in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. He says, all this is from God who through Christ reconciled us to himself. And what did he do? Gave us the ministry of reconciliation. See, God gives us this new life through the Spirit. And then he gives us a new purpose, his mission. We have been reconciled to God, and he gives us that very ministry to go and be the messengers of reconciliation to the world around us. He didn't just simply save me or save us from something. He saved us for something, to become his ambassadors. God making his appeal through us. And the message that changed us becomes the message that we proclaim. Be reconciled to God. And he gives us the gospel in verse 21. If you want to hear the gospel in a short verse, but deep in power for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. For our sake, for my sake, he made Jesus, who is sinless, to be sin, to take on God's righteous judgment for me, so that in Christ, I would now be declared the righteousness of God. The gospel that gave us new life is the gospel that we carry to others, and we proclaim that message. And praise be to God, we can know that what he starts, he finishes. See, the story doesn't end with our new life, our regeneration. The God who makes us new today is one day going to make all things new. He started it. The kingdom is here. But one day he's going to finish what he started. This is why we look to Revelation. Behold, Revelation 21, I am making all things new. Notice he doesn't say, I will make all things new, future tense. He says, I'm making today. The work has already begun. I've been made new. Many of you in this room have been made new. And one day it's going to be just like it was in the garden, and all things will be made new. The new creation began when Christ rose from the dead, and one day it will encompass all of creation. The God who gives us new hearts will one day give us a new heaven and earth. He will finish what he has started. And that's the hope of the gospel. Not just that we can be forgiven. Praise be to God, we can be forgiven of our sins. But we can be made new. Made completely new, as if there were no sins at all. We have now become the righteousness of God. Not just bondo. Not just lipstick on a pig, made new. Some of you have been striving to figure it out. Let me see if I can slap this new paint job on. Let me add this into my life. Maybe if I mix a little bit of this or that in, things will work out. I'll figure it out. Some of you this morning need to just confess that to Jesus and allow him to do the work of making you new today. Jesus said, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Jesus says, you're not in control. You don't manufacture it. You don't even know when and where it will go or how. But my Spirit blows over the lives of my people, and they come to me. So if you've been striving to figure it out, if you right now are where I was way too many years ago, trying to figure it out, let me invite you this morning to be attentive to the Holy Spirit of God. Listen to what the Spirit of God is saying through the Word. You've heard the Word. He says that the Spirit moves through the Word. You've heard the Word. Give your life to Jesus. Confess you've been looking for life from all these other places. Let him this morning make you new. I was 16. I wanted a new life and I didn't know where to find it. Jesus said, you must be born again. And the Spirit of God stirred in my heart and then spoke to me through his Word, and I was born again, and my life has never been the same. I invite you to bow your heads with me now. And I just want to ask the Spirit of God to blow like the wind. We don't know. We're not in control, Lord. You are. But I pray now that if there's anyone in this room that has been looking for life, has been wondering how to find that life, has been wondering who you are, more than likely familiar with your name, Jesus, but not sure of your love, not sure of your power. I pray, Spirit, you would move in this place. Just going to be quiet for a moment and ask the Spirit of the living God to move. Jesus, I thank you that your Spirit was at work stirring up questions in my heart in the same way that you were stirring up questions in Nicodemus's heart. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for moving in my life all those years ago. Jesus, thank you for your Word that I was able to read on a page and hear from you. And your Spirit spoke. And I wasn't made better. I was made new. I thank you for that. I worship you because you're the one who did it, not me. And I thank you for so many in this room that I know who have experienced that same transformation. From youngest to oldest, from little Remy being made new this week to grandmas and grandpas that were made new 50 years ago. It's the same Spirit of God. So we just give you praise and glory and we worship you. But Lord, I also know that there's some in this room who've been looking for life, have been trying to mix you in here and there perhaps, wondering how could they be born again. Well, we plead with you, Holy Spirit, to move in their life. Draw them to yourself. Let them hear from your word. For my sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin. Would that be the profession of anyone who's been far from you this morning? Would they be able to say, for my sake, Jesus became sin for me. He went to a cross for me so that in Jesus, in Christ, I might be called the righteousness of God. Holy Spirit, we invite you to move in this place in a way that only you can. Do what only you can do. Make us new. We pray in the beautiful and the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Let's stand together. Let's sing. Respond in gratefulness, thanksgiving, and I want to encourage you. If you need prayer, if you'd love prayer, we have folks down front. You don't have to wait until after the service is over. We're here for you. Here we go. King of Kings.
The King of Kings, who left his throne to save us here below. And with his blood redeemed my soul. He made us all his own. He is Lord. He is Lord. He's alive. Our yes, he is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ. He is Lord. From the grave, exalted high with praise, given a name above all names, worthy of all our praise. He is Lord. He
maker of it. bow down in worship, and from this moment through eternity, we'll bow down in worship as we exalt the name of Jesus. We will bow down and worship. And holy, holy, sing it, holy, holy to you, holy, holy, and holy, and holy. He is Lord. He is Lord. He's alive, our risen Christ. Yes, He is Lord. Oh, He is Lord. You are Lord. Oh, You are Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus Christ. He is Lord. Praise God from whom all blessings flow, and praise Him all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host, and praise Son and Holy Ghost, and Amen. 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 We'll see you. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the preaching of God's Word from City Church Melissa. We meet Sunday mornings at 8:30, 10 a.m., and 11:30 a.m., and we look forward to meeting you there soon. City Church Melissa, for the glory of God, the good of the city, and the hope of the world.
You say, you'll